If you would be turning in your Bibles to John, the 15th chapter, John chapter 15, and we'll read a verse there here in a few moments. In the few moments that I have to speak with you this evening, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about persecution and the persecution that we as Christians face this time here on earth, and specifically the persecution that Christians are facing in our nation today. We are very fortunate to be Americans. We're very fortunate to live in a country that was founded on Christian principles and foundations, and it's no secret that our nation as a whole is getting further and further away from those foundations. We see that every day in society. And it's also the case that recently, more and more, the government and the policies that are being passed are getting now further and further away from those principles, those foundations that our country was founded on, that are in accordance with God's will. And I think that in the future, we as Christians are going to be facing persecution more and more as we go further and further as a nation down that path. I was reading an article the other day, and some of you may be familiar with this, but with the new healthcare system that is set to go in full effect here in about a year, one of the things that the healthcare is calling for businesses to do is to provide certain types of contraception is the issue. And there are businesses, Hobby Lobby is the one in the article that I was reading, whose owners are Bible believers, they're Christians. I believe they're members of a certain denomination. I don't remember which one. So so-called Christians, but they the providing of that certain type of contraception is something that violates their religious convictions and their religious principles. And what the courts have ruled in those circumstances, when they took the case to courts, they sued and said this is violating our First Amendment rights, our freedom of religion. And the courts basically ruled that freedom of religion only applies to worship. It does not apply to your everyday life in this situation, your secular life. And so that's a direction that some policies that are being passed in the government, some rulings of the courts, that's the direction that it's heading. And as Christians, that is something that is a scary thought. We are persecuted as Christians today. As we mentioned, we have been fortunate to live in a country where that persecution is limited, but I'm afraid there are times that will be coming sooner than later to where we will have to endure more and more persecutions because of our faith and because of our religious convictions. You know, as Christians, we know that in the Scripture, we're not just Christians when we're inside this building. We're not just Christians on Sundays or Wednesday nights, but we're called to follow Christ and to be follow His commandments throughout our entire lives, and wherever we go, we are to let our light shine. And so I ask you the question, are you prepared to be more persecuted as a Christian? Is our faith where it ought to be, to where we can withstand those persecutions and look forward to the hope that we have as followers of Christ? In John the 15th chapter, and in verse 18, we are warned by Christ that we are going to be persecuted. In verse 18 of John 15, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And so we see here that if we follow Christ, we are going to be hated by this world. We are going to be rejected by this world, just as Christ was rejected. If you would turn with me, the next passage that I'd like to look at is in Matthew, the 10th chapter. And in Matthew chapter 10, Christ is speaking to his apostles, and he's sending them out to preach the gospel, and he's warning them of some of the persecutions, of some of the trials, and of the tribulations that they will face. And he's talking to the apostles here, but these situations certainly apply to us today, as we too are called to go out and to preach the gospel and to spread the word to those who are around us. And I want to read we'll skip through around most of this chapter 10, but I want to read several parts in here and look at what we're told about the persecutions that we will face. And beginning in verse 16, Jesus says to his apostles, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. And there's one of those instances, the Holy Spirit was going to be given to the apostles. We now have the complete inspired Word of God in front of us today. He says, now brother, in verse 21, will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. And really, there's the key point that we want to make. Yes, we will be persecuted as Christians, and we will go through trials and tribulations. And unfortunately, I think that those tribulations will get stronger and stronger as we go. But we have that hope. If we endure to the end, then we will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? If they've rejected Christ, then they are that much more going to reject us. Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. And then my favorite part of this passage, where he talks to them about not worrying, in verses 27 through 31. No matter what laws our government passes, no matter what rulings that our courts rule, we don't need to fear them. In verse 27, he warns them, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your hair are numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more value than many sparrows. No matter what we go through, God is going to take care of us, whether it's physical persecutions. The apostles in the first century faced those physical persecutions. Will we ever face those in our lifetime here in the country that we live in? I don't think so, but that's not a guarantee. We may. And are we going to be willing to stand up for our faith? And are we going to be willing to confess Christ before men, as he tells his apostles to do here in the next couple of verses? Confess me before men, him. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. We have to make sure that our faith is strong. We have to make sure that we are willing to fight for our faith, to contend for our faith, as we're told in Jude 3. And we need to be able to stand up against these persecutions and persevere through these trials and tribulations that, as I said, I fear will be getting more and more as we go on. And once again, if we do that, then we will have that hope of an eternal life in heaven. And the last passage I want to look at, a couple of verses, in Matthew the 5th chapter, a few pages over. Passage we're all familiar with, but Matthew 5 and verses 11 and 12, it's summed up best when it says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. As Christians, we will be persecuted, but our reward for that is great because our reward is in heaven. And that's our ultimate goal as Christians on this earth. And that's something to keep in mind. And so as we look and we see things around us changing and things getting more and more unfamiliar to us as Christians in this country, and we work, it's natural to worry about those things. It is. But we need to remember that God is in control, and that ultimately, no matter what the persecution is, even if it's our life, that our ultimate reward is heaven if we persevere. And so we want to offer the invitation this evening to those who are here who may not have named Christ yet, who may not have that hope of that reward which is in heaven to Christ's children, God's children. And we want to offer you the opportunity to make your life right with God and come forward. The baptistry is ready if you would like to come forward and confess Christ and be baptized tonight. For those who are Christians but have perhaps fallen away or are not living your life as you should and want to make that right, we offer the opportunity to you as well. If we can help you in any way, we ask that you come forward now as we stand in